We're just going to introduce tonight, because of our time that we have this evening, a subject that I'm going to spend the next several Wednesday nights on. And the title of this series is going to be Sweet Spiritual Refreshment. Sweet Spiritual Refreshment. I want to draw your attention tonight to Psalm 116. And Psalm 116 is going to be kind of the launching place, because I want to go to the book of Ruth in services ahead, because there's a particular word that is used there, that's also used here in Psalm 116 and verse 7, that's a very powerful Hebrew word, and it relates to our spiritual rest, our spiritual refreshment. I want to read the first 9 verses with you tonight of Psalm 116 and just perhaps get our thoughts moving in the right direction in regard to sweet spiritual refreshment that you and I, as believers, can enjoy right now. It's not something that's yet future, but it's something that you and I can enjoy if we will enter in to this refreshment. If we will trust God and follow His Word, we can enjoy and have sweet spiritual refreshment. And it's not based upon your health. It's not based upon how much money you have. We're talking about spiritual matters. We're talking about spiritual refreshment. I remember many years ago the opportunity that I had to visit a lady at the Santa Rosa Convalescent Center, a sweet lady, and she passed away. It's been now 20 years ago. She passed away in 1989, but had the privilege of knowing her from the time I was a senior in high school till she went on to be with the Lord. Her name was Mrs. Sapp, and Mrs. Sapp was such a joy to be around. She was just one of those ladies that when you were around her, she would just light up. Now, she couldn't get up out of her wheelchair. She was wheelchair bound. But she had such a sweet spirit. And we would come up to her and she would want to reach out and give you a hug. And then she would start talking about immediately a blessing that the Lord had given her that day. I mean, she just had that kind of sweet spiritual closeness with the Lord. And I always reflected upon that as an encouragement to me. At that time, I was a high school student, a college student. I'd come back after being away from school, and I'd go visit her down there at the Santa Rosa Convalescent Center. Matter of fact, her room was the same room that my grandmother was in when she went on to be with the Lord. She, Mrs. Sapp, had fallen out of her bed one night and was wedged between the bed and the little nightstand there. It crushed her hip. She had to go in to Santa Rosa to have a total hip replacement, and she never was able to leave. She went on to be with the Lord. The surgery was just too traumatic. But I will never forget that even in the hospital, after her surgery, and it was extremely painful for her, she had a smile on her face, and she was talking about the Lord. She was a testimony to the nurses. She was a testimony to her doctor. And she had about her an air of rest, of refreshment, of tranquility, even in the midst of all of her suffering, all of the physical things that she was going through. She had something that a lot of other people around her did not have. And I can say I didn't have it. And I pray and ask God that He'll give it to me. But as I've reflected upon the Word of God and looking at Psalm 116, I've once again renewed in my own heart, my Lord, just bring that kind of tranquility that you want your children to have, that you want me to have. Not based upon circumstances of life, not based upon how things are, if everything is going smooth, but just a refreshment of spirit that will help me to have the right kind of attitude about the Lord's work, about His people, serving His people. It's so important. And I'm afraid in our 21st century tech-savvy world that we have lost completely this kind of spiritual refreshment that God wishes to bestow upon His children. Let's read the first 9 verses of Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Verse 7 now is the focus of our attention. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Father in heaven, bless your word. Lord, we're just going to just barely touch the surface of where we want to go in this particular passage, but I pray that you would direct our attention and our thoughts to some of the meaning behind these words and perhaps whet our appetite to know more and to learn further of your desire for us as Christians to be spiritually refreshed and know that rest and tranquility that your children know when we fully trust thee, when we fully rest in thee. We ask, dear Father, that you would lead and guide in this message, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I read the story not too long ago about a West Virginia man who, for his 75th birthday, asked his family, "I want to ride in a plane." Now, he had never ridden in a plane before. And so for his 75th birthday, he went to his family and said, "All I want for my birthday is to go for a plane ride." So one of his nephews arranged for a man to take him up into the air, and so they went flying. And they buzzed their town in West Virginia, just going over and over. Now, he had never been up in the air, had never seen the town from the air before, and he went for a plane ride. When they landed the plane, all the family came running out to him, and they were just peppering him with questions. And one of the nephews that had arranged for all of this and paid for this flight came up to him and said, "Uncle Dudley, did you enjoy the flight? Were you scared at all during the flight?" And Uncle Dudley said, "No, but I have to admit to you, I never put my weight fully in the seat." Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever been on something? Maybe it was a ride, or maybe it was in somebody, maybe your teenager was driving. I can say that I've experienced not fully putting my weight in the seat there. You know, when you've got a teenager that's learning how to drive, you want to be able to jump out, you know, at whatever cost to yourself. It's probably better than the end of staying in the car. But we all know what it's like. We used to play musical chairs, and we do so at the Whitney's house every year. They have a fall festival at their house, and they play musical chairs and take one chair away, and everybody is sitting on the edge of the chair. And you begin the song, and everybody gets up and starts going around, and then you just wait for that final stoppage, and you run jump in the chair. But everybody's just on the edge, or ready to jump back up again when the music begins. Well, when it comes to spiritual matters, you and I cannot live that way. We cannot live with the idea, I'm not going to put my weight down fully upon the Lord. I want to be able to bolt away if I need to, in case things don't go like I want them to go. I can jump away from it real quick and somehow preserve myself. The psalmist here in Psalm 116 says, "I did that, and I did not find that rest that I enjoyed when I fully trusted in the Lord." He says here, you've got to put your full weight and rest upon the Lord. You can't have any reservations. You can't have one leg on the Lord and the other leg ready to bolt off if something doesn't go according to plan. You've got to fully trust in Him, and when you do, you will know what it means to be spiritually refreshed and know what it means to rest. Now, I want to read to you a translation of verse 7 here that kind of opened my eyes here to what the psalmist was saying. Hopefully will enrich your understanding of some of the words that we find here in this verse. And then we're going to close tonight, and we'll pick up with this in the next Wednesday, Lord willing, and see a little bit further. Because I think we need to see the language here of the resting place. The language here of the resting place. Look at verse 7 and follow along in your Bible as I read here an alternate translation. "Return, O my life, to your resting place, for Jehovah has ripened over you." Now let me read it again, because I want you to understand the Hebrew words that are given to us here and get the full picture. "Return, O my life, to your resting place, for Jehovah has ripened over you. We have that idea there of he hath dealt bountifully with thee, but the word is for ripened, as fruit ripens on the vine. Our Lord Jehovah has ripened unto you. I will close with this illustration. Back whenever I was in high school, I worked most of my summers here in the ministry, but in my senior year, I wasn't able to work here, and so I went out, and my brother and I got a job working for Mr. Coleman, who was fresh out of a job working for Air Florida. How many of you remember the airline Air Florida? It just flew here in the state. He was a pilot for Air Florida, and he did something that pilots aren't supposed to do. He belly landed a jet. And after that, they said, we don't want you to do that anymore. They felt like that he should have landed at an airport. But he felt he didn't have enough fuel, so he belly landed a jet. Everybody walked away from it. He was a pilot, a Cobra pilot during Vietnam. They flew those Cobra missions into the jungles of Vietnam and was somewhat of a hot dog pilot. And so a little bit of that carried over, and Air Florida let him go after that. And so he went into the construction business. And he hired Roger and I to work for him. And we would carry our lunch with us every day. A little cooler that we carried with our stuff in it. And from time to time, Mom would put tangerines in there. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing more refreshing on a hot day than a good cold tangerine. How many of you would agree with me? I had a few people out there. I don't know, maybe not everybody's like, I'm a tangerine eater. I love them. Matter of fact, Paul and Beth Smith gave Beth and I a big old basket of them for Christmas. And I went through those things. They're just so wonderful taste. I love to put them down in the bottom of the refrigerator, let them get good and cold, and then I'll sit there and pop those things. And when you bite into them, it's that initial burst of flavor and coldness. I mean, it is just refreshing, especially on a hot day and even in the wintertime. They're good. Now, that's the picture here of this particular Hebrew word. It's the refreshment that a piece of ripe fruit, when you bite into it and all of its juiciness and all of that taste comes overwhelming your taste buds and your senses, and you just get that wonderful taste that comes with that good fruit, whether it's a pear or whether it's a peach. I love peaches as well, especially those good Georgia ones. And they've got some good that are in Alabama, but those Georgia peaches are really good. And you put them in a refrigerator, let them get good and cold, and then you go bite into that and that juice. I mean, there's just nothing better than that. They even had that in Holly, didn't they? They have peaches down there?
Yes, sir.
All right. And they probably had some other things that they shouldn't have been drinking either, but we won't go there. Some refreshment. But anyway, that's the word here. It's kind of an ambience. You peel the tangerine and you break it apart and you pop it in your mouth and you bite into it and all the things that are involved with enjoying that piece of fruit. That's the word here that's translated in our King James bountifully, but really it's the word ripened. Ripened and just right for eating. Just perfect for eating. I will never forget Dr. Hobbs' description of eating a persimmon that wasn't ripe. How many of you remember that? I remember as a child hearing that. And I will never forget it. And I've only had one persimmon in my life. I ate it because Dr. Hobbs talked about it. And I don't know whether it was ripe or not. I still to this day don't know when a persimmon is ripe or not. But you'll know for sure if it's not. Dr. Hobbs used to talk about his face all twisting up and so forth, biting into one of those, kind of like biting into a lemon. It just doesn't have the same taste as biting into a good peach or eating some grapes or things of that nature. But our Lord is pictured here as ripening over His people. His provision, His goodness, His blessing is over His people if we'll only partake of Him, if we'll enjoy Him. That's why the Lord said, come and dine. You've got to come. A lot of people are just tasters. But you've got to come and dine. You've got to participate with Him in His presence to know what we're talking about here. And so we're going to unfold this word as it appears here in the New Testament, specifically the word rest, but also this other word that we find here in the Hebrew, because it is such a rich comparison of what God wants for His children. He wants us to be able to rest in Him. Trials come. Something comes along and you say, we will not be able to make it through this, but yet we understand and know His rest and His tranquility through the midst of that and come out on the other side knowing that God takes care of everything. He ripens over us. He is sweet no matter what the trial. Whatever the physical difficulty, the Lord is sweet and refreshing. Do we know this kind of understanding? Do we understand and know that as believers? That's what we're going to talk about. Sweet spiritual refreshment, specifically linked to God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit.